What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Elon's Matchup Maximizer, a podcast where we take a look at next week's NHL schedule to figure out who the players are that we should be targeting to maximize games played and win our head-to-head matchups. And the eagle-eared among you may have already noticed that I am not Elon Dubrovsky. That's right, it's Short Shift's Ryan Downey here stepping in on Elon's behalf to take you through the ins and outs, the busy days and the light days, and all of the intricacies of this week's K-Cupful, that's the Keeping Carlson Ultimate Patron Fantasy League, championship final matchup, and help you emerge victorious. I'm thrilled to be here hosting Matchup Maximizer for the first time, and that normally would be enough to want to do a good job, you know. I do have pride as a nascent podcaster here, but I do have a bit more skin in the game this week as I am likely to advance to the championship finals in both my home cash league and, more importantly, my K-Cupful division. So we can't miss this week. We've got a hit on every one of these players. As a disclaimer here, I am recording this Saturday morning, March 29th, and so I'm going to be missing some of the action tonight from my analysis. So, for example, if the Minnesota Wild lose two more centers and catapult Freddie Gaudreau into an unquestioned 1C role, forgive me, because I can't tell the future, although I do think that outcome is fairly unlikely. Anyways, without any further ado, let's jump in with the schedule, and just like any other week, we're going to be looking for opportunities to add games played from productive players while removing players from our lineup whose schedules are less efficient. This concept takes on a whole new meaning in the playoff finals because there is no next week. You don't have another chance. There's no point in holding on to some of these studs if they only have two games this week, you know, for example. You know, as each day passes next week, we will be one day closer to the end of the season. So no matter the outcome, it's time to be ruthless in your pursuit of a fantasy championship. So to start the episode, I'll do the usual identification of low ownership players on Yahoo, juxtaposed with our K-Cupful ownership percentage, but I will also take some time near the end to identify players on your team with bad schedules that you may consider dropping. As an example, Toronto has a brutal schedule next week after what was likely two very strong streaming weeks with eight games that probably factored in pretty heavily to getting you to this point in your fantasy playoffs. This week, however, they have one off-day game against the Panthers on Wednesday, and after that game, they just play on the busy Saturday. So while you're probably not dropping Austin Matthews, William Nylander, Mitch Marner, John Tavares, who's been super hot lately, you might consider moving on from a peripheral player like a Matty Nyes or a Bobby McMahon. That kind of thing. Got it? Good. So let's get to the good schedules first. We're talking week 24, March 31st to April 6th. And this week presents some interesting options to take advantage of because there's only really one busy day, you know? We'll want to avoid Saturday, which has 13 games involving 26 teams. And so we're going to avoid that Saturday, of course. But, you know, the rest of the week, we have a bunch of light days, you know, defined here as 20 teams or less being involved. So why don't we start with the four game teams that don't feature a Saturday game this week? And the list of those teams is as follows: the Minnesota Wild, the Washington Capitals, and the Nashville Predators. And I've always liked in the past when Elon and Jeremy would rank their preferred streamers as the episode goes. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to rank them in tiers based on their schedule, and then hopefully by the end we have a nicely prioritized list of targets for you to pursue. So starting with Minnesota, who I feel like we've been talking about for weeks on all of the podcasts, Short Shifts, Matchup Maximizer, and the Weekly Mega Show, because they've been that team with the coveted off-day schedule throughout the fantasy playoffs, and this week is no different. They're the only team this week that has the Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, and if your league is anything like mine, there's probably not a whole lot left on the wire for you to pursue. You know, we've had a lot of favorite targets on Matchup Maximizer's past with Ryan Hartman, Freddie Gaudreau, Marco Rossi, all of them at points occupying the 1C role in Minnesota. But with the offensive malaise currently plaguing the Wild, it's definitely possible that some of those players with the great schedules have been dropped, especially in a winner-take-all semifinal week. I was able to snag Marco Rossi in my home league yesterday, who, despite Minnesota only scoring 7 goals in their last 4 games, was able to factor in on 2 of them with a goal and an assist. He's playing at even strength with the only other high-end offensive player on the team right now in Matt Boldy, and sees time on the 5-forward power play, whose current iteration includes Boldy, Marcus Johansson, Freddie Gaudreau, and Mats Zuccarello. That's about as good deployment as you're going to get, so right now he'll be my streamer of the week. I do concede the point that at 33% owned in Yahoo, he is likely already owned in many competitive leagues, but seeing him in my own cash league, which is pretty competitive, I figured I would just mention him that way. So let's move down the lineup now, and let's use that power play as our guide. Marcus Johansson and Freddie Gaudreau are both playing with Matt Zuccarello on the second line at even strength. Zuccarello is owned probably in your league at 50% across Yahoo, and Gaudreau has likely been off and on people's rosters all of the last few weeks, but recently had a two-goal game with five shots in Minnesota's win over the Capitals. You could definitely do worse than Freddie Gaudreau. Marcus Johansson is last in ownership percentage here at 1%. And with 2 points in his last two games, averaging 17 minutes of time on ice per night, he could be an option as well. One player I won't be recommending is the aforementioned Ryan Hartman. I added him after bringing him up on short shifts last week, and obviously he's done absolutely nothing for me in that time and has found his way appropriately down to the third line and being bumped off the top power play. He was replaced by Vinny Hinostroza a couple days ago before this five-forward power play came into effect. So I think you can close that Hartman tab that you have open on your web browser. He's not worth a move this week in a winner-take-all situation. And while it might be hard to drop him and other Wild players playing four games this week, I think you can do better than, you know, Marcus Foligno or Jake Middleton, Gus Nyquist, Brock Faber. I'd ask you to reconsider if you have those players on your team. You can probably do better with some of the players I'm going to mention going forward. The reality with Minnesota is that they need to win some games if they want to keep their tenuous grasp on a playoff spot intact. So you can expect their best every night as the season winds down. So those top guys, Rossi, Gaudreau, you know, maybe Marcus Johansson, those are the guys I would be interested in here for this finals week. But let's move on to some other teams here, because I think you'll find some more interesting options and better strategies as we progress through the schedule here. On to the Music City, the Nashville Predators also have an interesting schedule with off-day games on Monday and Sunday against Philadelphia and Montreal, no less, two teams that are, you know, rocketing down the standings. Montreal still does have something to play for. They're still in the mix for that wildcard spot, but they haven't had such a good time of it in the past week. They also have busier days, these Nashville Predators, with games against Columbus and Dallas. And I think the players from Nashville are a good option if you want to get an early game and move on. You could also hold on and get that second off day with the Nashville Sunday Savior. You can do that too. But I think you might want to try these guys out and then see where they fit later in the week. Now, whether any of these players are worth owning, that is the real question, because Nashville... That's a roster that had to be reminded by their head coach to remain professional through the wind down of the season here. I've never seen anything like that as a lifelong hockey fan. They're 4-6 in their last 10 games, with only one game where they scored higher than 3 goals per game, and that was the drubbing of an unprepared Toronto team last week to the tune of 5 goals. I think the most interesting player that's available and probably out there for you in your leagues is Luke Evangelista, who recently got his first Hockey Night in Canada towel as an interview subject for Kyle Bukauskas against the Leafs last week. He is riding an unprecedented point scoring streak with 6 points in his last 4 games. He isn't shooting much, but he is playing on the de facto top line with Forsberg and Ryan O'Reilly, so he may continue to factor in there at even strength. Another player who could factor in here is Michael Bunting, who has been displaying signs of life on this anemic Preds roster, with 3 points in his last 4 games and 2 goals on only 6 shots in that time. Nashville as a whole isn't shooting much, but Bunting is in a position to succeed playing at even strength with Stamkos and Marchessault, so you could take a swing on him for the early week and keep him if he keeps it up. I think Bunting is a little bit interesting because he actually hasn't played a whole lot this year. You know, he was traded from Pittsburgh, but before the trade, he was involved in a car accident that involved him being, you know, out for a couple of weeks. And then he also had that emergency appendicitis surgery. And so he might have a little bit more left in the tank than, you know, a player who's been playing all 70 plus games this season. So I think he might have a bit more to add, and Barry Trotz seems to have some confidence in him and his ability to create. So he might be an interesting option too. On the defense, I'd love to be able to recommend Nick Blankenberg in honor of our patron Norm, being his cousin and family member. But honestly, if there's a defender I'm recommending from Nashville, it's probably Brady Shea, who has had to shoulder a lot of responsibility with Roman Josi out for the rest of the season. He has 2 points in his last two games, with his ice time climbing to a season high of 26 minutes and 16 seconds against the Blues last week. He's not giving you much in peripherals, with only a six-shot game 2 weeks ago jumping off the page to me, but he's the guy in the position to convert merely due to his usage. Blankenberg, as I mentioned before, he's on the power play with the usual suspects on Nashville, but I have a hard time seeing him factoring in when there are guys like Stamkos, Marchessault, and Forsberg that he will likely be deferring to. So, you know, I promised a ranking, so I think I'll keep Rossi at the top of our ranking, and I think I'll put Evangelista in next, followed by Michael Bunting, just because, you know, as I said, he hasn't played much this year, and I wonder how much more he has in the tank. Follow that up with Gaudreau, and then let's put Brady Shea and Marcus Johansson at the bottom as known quantities that you can stream in if some of the more exciting players are not available. Next, we'll go to the nation's capital, Washington, who will be a great mid to late week ad with games on Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday after a somewhat busy Tuesday. There's not a whole lot out there for the Caps, who have been one of the best teams in the league from the jump this year, and they've also been shockingly cold of late with roster staples like Pierre-Luc Dubois, Tom Wilson, and Jacob Chychrun having trouble converting in the last week. But there are a few opportunities to be seized here in the bottom six. And, you know, one of the more intriguing ones is Anthony Beauvillier. I don't love the player. I haven't really ever been a fan of him, but there's got to be a reason these teams keep acquiring him. I would imagine that he is re-energized by coming to a contender, given where he's played the last few years. Just if you're bored today, see if you can name all the teams that Anthony Beauvillier has played for in his short career. I'll give you a hint that it's six teams. The same number of playoff games he's played in the past 3 years. So the, you know, renewed Beauvillier, who is re-energized by being on this, you know, top team, is contributing in a depth role, playing 11 to 13 minutes per night and shooting a respectable amount with 19 shots in 10 games since he joined the Caps. That's buoyed by 10 shots in his last three and 2 3-shot games last week, and those shots have resulted in 1 goal and 3 assists in his last 5 games. Recency bias is everything in the fantasy playoffs, and I want anyone who is shooting 4 and 5 times a night in the playoffs. Andrew Mangiapane is someone else. He's playing a similar role to Beauvillier. He's got 3 goals in his last 4 games to show for it, although not a whole lot on the shooting side, and recently turned in a 1-block game. That's right, 1 block, that's it. Basically a cardio session, but he ends it with a bruise. So I think we can do a little bit better than Andrew Mangiapane. There's also Matt Roy chipping in on the blue line with 3 points in his last 3 games. He has some shots to show for it. That's about as good as one can do when looking for streamers in Washington, because you're not getting anyone on that top power play at this time of the year. So to review here, out of the players that play 4 games this week without playing Saturday, our ranking is Rossi, Evangelista, Bunting, Gaudreau. And then I probably put in Beauvillier and Mangiapane just because of their hot streaks, before finishing out with Marcus Johansson, Matt Roy, and Shea. We're going to toss to a little ad break at this point, and when we get back, I'll address some of the other interesting 4-game weeks. You're listening to Matchup Maximizer.
This NHL season has been as predictable as a puck rolling on its edge. No one knows where it's going, but that just means there's time for your favorite team to figure things out and games left for you to get in on the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. It's super easy for first-timers to get started. Try betting on something simple like picking a team to win. Go to the DraftKings Sportsbook app, select your team, and place your first bet. And if you're new to DraftKings, listen up! New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets instantly when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777. or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, see dkng.co/ice.
Welcome back to Matchup Maximizer. Thanks for sticking with me. I'm your host, Ryan Downey, and now we're looking at the rest of the teams that are playing four games, including the busy Saturday, where you will likely be benching them or whoever is coldest on your roster at that point. The teams with the most off-day games under those parameters include the Colorado Avalanche, the Dallas Stars, and the Florida Panthers, who each have two off-day games. So if you're full on Tuesday or Thursday, you're more likely to squeeze these guys in. Let's start with Colorado, who could be a good early week option with Monday and Wednesday games next week. And boy, are they hot since the trade deadline. Recently winners of 8 of their last 10. Since that mid-season remodel of their team that saw a complete revamp of the center depth chart, the Avs went from a center core of McKinnon, Casey Mittelstadt, Parker Kelly, and Ross Colton in October to McKinnon, Brock Nelson, Charlie Coyle, and Jack Drury. That is one heck of a glow-up for a team that was already a contender in the Western Conference. But what is there left for us waiver wire scroungers, though? When your top players are all in the top six and on the top power play, we don't have a situation where like a Brock Nelson could be elevating a Miles Wood or a Ross Colton to new heights. The usual suspects are in those scoring roles. So we have to start with the second power play, where we do see Coyle and Colton playing with Nelson and Lekkonen, with Devon Taves quarterbacking from the point. They had a few chances in limited action in their last game. So let's start with Colton here, who has settled into his usual 30-ish point pace, scoring 8 assists in 12 games since his last offensive explosion in February. He might not be your best option. Someone else who might not be your best option is Coyle, who is playing his role as offensive transition star and 200-foot responsible player. He won't give you anything in fantasy. You might be able to get some peripheral scoring out of a Sam Girard or a Sam Malinsky. You know, honestly, Sam Malinsky might be your best move from this Colorado team that has been optimized to the gills to score goals. Malinsky has had a number of steady games of peripheral scoring with the injuries piling up for Colorado on the decor. He's averaging just over 4 cupful points per game in his last 2 weeks of action, so maybe grab him as a solid floor peripherals guy and just relish the points if they keep coming. I think I prefer Malinsky, at least in the early week, to guys like Shea or Roy from our last segment, so hey, why not? Sam Malinsky, that'll be my pick from the Colorado Avalanche since there's no, you know, good forwards that are available here. Over to Dallas, and I'd be shocked, honestly, if there's anything left on your waiver wire from Dallas since they've had this incredible playoff schedule this past week. The best player available on my Kupfel waiver wire is a Maverick Bork or maybe an Esa Lindell, with most of that top nine already owned. Mason Marchment might be your best bet out there at only 9% owned on Yahoo. Very consistent production for Mason Marchment to boast of, basically since the trade deadline. He's got 8 points in his last 10 games with 3 goals and 15 shots to show for it in that time. He does have this habit of turning in 0-shot games, which I think is something you can expect from basically everyone in the middle six from Dallas, as that top line is just cooking right now. 4 such 0-shot games for Mason Marchment in that 10-game streak, so maybe someone's dropped him and you can take advantage of that. He's also hitting a lot too, with several 5-hit games in his game sheet recently, so he may be able to provide a solid floor even if he does continue to bounce all over the lineup. With games on Monday and Sunday, see how he does early in the week and cut if you need to, but he could be an important part of your team this week if he's out there. Let's get down to Florida here, and the big story in Florida is obviously Brad Marchand returning on line 2 with Mackie Samuskevich and Sam Bennett last night, Friday, March 28th, in Florida. That's fun, hey? If you're a Panthers fan, that is. As a Leafs fan, I don't like it one bit. But it's the truth, and he fit right in, assisting on the winning goal in overtime and looking every bit the player that the Panthers were hoping to get when they acquired him for that conditional second-round pick. You probably can't get him, since he's just coming off of people's IRs, right? And He was probably a reasonably productive member of people's rosters before he was injured. But you probably can get his line mate, Mackie Samuskevich, who, like his Panther teammates, is playing two off-day games this week. He's been fairly steady since the trade deadline for a rookie, with 6 points in his last 8 games and a boatload of shots to boot. I'm seeing a few four-shot games in there as well for Mackie Samuskevich. I imagine Marchand will probably take the shooter role more on that line, but Samuskevich continues to do his assist thing last night on the Sam Bennett goal, so give him a whirl if he's out there. You know, the Short Shifts listeners will know that I've never met a rookie that I haven't wanted to give a spin on the roster, and so this is, you know, par for the course for me, I guess. I should also mention that I have seen Carter Verhaeghe dropped out there. He is downright chilly. Nothing to speak of from fantasy production standpoint in the past month, but he's still shooting up a storm. He's not being rewarded for it, but he's still shooting, and we love shots here on Matchup Maximizer, so maybe he gets that monkey off his back this week. If he's out there, you could get that extra Wednesday game off of him and reassess later in the week if you need to. On to another team that's rolling in the off days this week, and that would be the Chicago Blackhawks. You know, in the hierarchy of how we usually would construct this show, a team like Chicago that plays 3 off-day games on Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday would probably come up earlier in the program than the 20-minute mark. But I have a hesitation with streaming from Chicago. That roster has been a merry-go-round all season long. It doesn't matter who the coach is, and they have found a way to put Connor Bedard with every Blackhawks player this year. And this week, the merry-go-round stops on Ilya Mikheyev. Now, normally, as a Leafs fan who watched Mikheyev here in Toronto and then watched him in Vancouver, I would never dream of talking about this player in a fantasy hockey context, but he has made it difficult to ignore him with 5 points in his last 5 games and 12 points since the Four Nations break. His usual putrid shooting percentage has reverted to the heights he enjoyed as a member of the Toronto Maple Leafs, and he is starting to shoot more as the season comes to a close. So I may just have to swallow my pride and suggest him as a mid to late week add. He's not getting any power play time, so if you're really just banking on the Bedard deployment sticking and for him to keep shooting. But I guess you could do worse this week, I suppose, than Ilya Mikheyev. Ryan Donato, by the way, is still out there doing his Ryan Donato thing. We've been talking in the Team Tuvan Allied chat on the Keeping Carlson Discord about where Donato gets drafted next year, and I think it's pretty safe to say he will get drafted probably in the 12th to 15th round next season. But there's no way he's out there for you, right? Like, he's been so hot all year. He's the secondary offensive threat, sometimes the primary offensive threat on a team that has featured a very demoralized Connor Bedard. And there's no earthly reason that a player in Donato who scored 5 goals and 2 assists on 12 shots in 3 games should be available to you. So if he's out there in your clown leagues, just get him. I mean, you won't regret it. It's 3 off-day weeks, and he's been so good. Finally, if you still have Artie Levchinov out there, the recent first-round pick for Chicago, his ice time has been ticking up into the mid-20s. And while he doesn't have much to show for it yet, I do think that that power play one and top pairing deployment will produce something for you this week. Obviously, he's a deep, 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 deep play, as, you know, the type of guy who might give you an assist on the power play. And I think I still would honestly rather a Malinsky type, as mentioned earlier, just for the floor. But Levchinov has been identified as the 1D of the future by this organization, and I'm interested to see what he can do with his prime deployment in a good schedule week, especially paired with Vlasic, who has been solid all season. We're going to finish off the ads portion of the show here with some quick hits from two teams that are frustratingly similar in their deployment decisions in the Carolina Hurricanes and the Seattle Kraken. Both teams insist on this very balanced approach, which can make streaming from them very annoying for fantasy managers. Fortunately, this week, that frustration will only be limited to 3 days of your schedule at a time, because if you're adding a Hurricane or Kraken, you're going to want to drop them after they play their 2 games in 3 days. Seattle gets Monday and Wednesday off-day games this week, and Carolina gets Wednesday and Friday this week before both play on the busy Saturday. And I won't be going too deep into either of these rosters because, honestly, they could change by tomorrow. And I find with these two teams, riding the hot hand has worked for me this season, whether it was Eric Robinson in the early part of the season or someone like Yanni Newman more recently. In Seattle, Jaden Schwartz, he's been my guy. I've held him at various points this year, and he has been so hot of late. I can never really resist him when he's out there, and honestly, I might be taking him just because I love to do that kind of early week swap out for a late week guy. So Jaden Schwartz might be my guy here, since he's rocked 4 goals in his last 3 games, 5 points in his last 5, and had a 5-shot and a 7-shot game back-to-back this week, which is super fun if you're looking for a guy who's trying to score. He's trying to score. And he's playing with Shane Wright and Jordan Eberle. That's even more fun, you know? So why not take a swing? You're dropping him Thursday regardless, and we just need the short-term play here. The danger with Seattle in a streaming week is going too deep into the lineup, so I'm only going to recommend one other guy. We're going to keep it tight here, and that is going to be Matty Beniers, who is playing on the de facto second line with McCann, and those guys have been a menace at even strength recently. Beniers has 5 points in his last 5 games and 2 shots per game in that span, and with a suddenly surging McCann on his wing, I'd feel excited to add him, especially if I know I can get off of him midweek. Over in Raleigh, you know, where everything could change in the blink of an eye, as usual. In this particular case, we're watching Andrei Svechnikov to see where he eventually lands in the lineup. Rod Brind'Amour has had him playing on the fourth line, and I don't think any reasonable observer believes that he is staying there. Svechnikov is returning from injury and getting up to speed, so they can finally use him in the playoffs to his full extent, and so who knows? Maybe we see him move up on Wednesday after a short break, and he ruins all the stuff that we're talking about here today. But until that happens, we have 2 very interesting Canes who have taken his opportunity, and they are Taylor Hall and Jackson, son of Toronto Maple Leafs great Jason Blake. Jackson is more interesting, if not very secure in his lineup spot, I would say. You know, an interesting stat came out on him over the week where he's shot in every game since his last goal on January 23rd before scoring Friday night against Montreal off of a weird bounce that didn't actually count as a shot for him. He's a tenacious player on the puck, and he has more than made good on his 4th-round draft position for the Carolina Hurricanes. He plays an honest, hardworking game on an honest, hardworking team, and he got rewarded for it on Friday with 3 points and has been hot since moving up to the top line with 6 points in 6 games and 3 separate 4-plus shot games in that span. You want a guy with opportunity who's shooting, and again, it's only for 3 days, so if it doesn't work out, you can drop him for a Sunday savior this weekend. Taylor Hall is also an option, although I doubt he's out there for you since he had his big hat trick moment last week. He's staying hot on the power play in particular, fitting snugly into that Svechnikov shooter spot. Svechnikov shooter spot. Svechnikov shooter spot. Say that 5 times fast. 7 goals and 11 points in his last 10 games for Taylor Hall. Grab him while it lasts, because as I said, Svech is coming back, and I can't imagine Rod Brind'Amour locking him out of power play 1 in the top 6 forever. So let's now just recap our ranking and tier it out for your use this week. In the top tier of streamers, those players playing 4 games while avoiding Saturday, we have Rossi, Evangelista, Bunting, Gaudreau, Beauvillier, and then I think Marcus Johansson. I probably throw Sam Bolinski in next for his floor, and then you can go for the Brady Shea play or the Matt Roy play if you're desperate. The next tier has guys like Samuskevich, Marchment, Schwartz, and Beniers. There's definitely a world where I prefer these guys to the Minnesota or Beauvillier plays. Let's not forget Jackson Smith and Taylor Hall next, and probably Ilya Mikheyev too. So here's what I will present to you as a prioritized ranking list for streaming for this week. Rossi is my streamer of the week, followed by Evangelista, Bunting, Marchment, Samuskevich, Mikheyev, Malinsky, and then if you want to play the scheduled game with Jaden Schwartz, Matt Beniers for the early week, Jackson Smith and Taylor Hall for the late week, you can go right ahead and probably move those guys into the same area of the ranking as a Marchment or a Samuskevich. I would much rather have the flexibility and control over my schedule by having like a Jaden Schwartz, transitioning him out for a Jackson Smith, then locking myself into a Marcus Johansson for the week, who probably will only give you 1 or 2 points. But those guys are there just in case the more exciting options are taken. You can definitely do worse than having a Freddie Gaudreau or a Marcus Johansson or a Brady Shea on your team this week. But hey, take that risk and take the time in the week to work on that schedule, because We won't get the chance to do this again until October. This is where it really counts. And so if you're not willing to make these moves now, when are you going to make them is kind of the way I think about it. So take these risks on these guys like Jaden Schwartz and Matt Beniers and see if it, see if it pans out. And now, as promised, I want to just point out some really bad schedules that are going to frustrate you this week as you make the difficult decisions necessary to secure a championship. These are decisions I'm going to have to make, too, and I hate it just as much as you do. The New Jersey Devils, the New York Rangers, the Philadelphia Flyers, and the Toronto Maple Leafs all have only two games this week. New Jersey gets it over with early with the one Monday game before the busy Saturday. And because of the long gap in the schedule, I can't honestly say that I'd keep any New Jersey Devil next week. I'm probably even cutting a Nico Hischier or Timo Meier in my home league just to maximize those games played. You know, Lewis said to us in the Short Shifts host chat this week, it's thank you for your service season. And although I'm sure that you, like me, want your team at the end to be reflective of the players that got you there, there's no room for that kind of sentimentality in fantasy hockey playoffs. The Flyers have the same schedule, and honestly, I do the same thing here with the Flyers, and I'll feel definitely less bad about it. Because really, like, is any Flyer more than a bottom-of-the-roster guy week in and week out anyways? With the turmoil behind the bench, Brad Shaw taking over for Tortorella, young players getting benched all game a la Cam York, it's just hard to predict in Philadelphia what's happening, so I just stay away from them this week. You don't want to be the guy holding a Michkov on the Saturday for him to get one assist on your bench, and then you're going to lose by 10 points because you didn't get players playing Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. In Toronto, you get the off-day game on the Wednesday before the Saturday busy day, so the gap isn't as big. You're only keeping them for inactive days where you're probably playing other players anyways. I'm probably not dropping the core four players, but everyone else is probably gone, right? There's no point in keeping a Bobby McMahon or a Matt Nyes or a resurgent Max Domi if they aren't getting into your lineup on Saturday. The Rangers are in the same spot, and although they are scoring a lot, they've been frustrating from a team standpoint to close out the season, and I wonder if the juice is running out on guys like Mika Zibanejad, Will Cooley, that's spelled C-U-Y-L-L-E, Adam Fox, Alexi Lafreniere, Vinny Trocheck. You know, I just think, again, you can do better in a winner-take-all week. I'm probably keeping Miller and Panarin and probably Fox, too, I guess, since he's a defender and he's had some time off. But otherwise, it's time to say goodbye in a two-game week. And that's it for me this week. I hope our merry little jaunt through the finals week schedule has been helpful for you, whether you're a Keeping Carlson patron or just one of our longtime listeners. You can find me at It's Me Downey on Blue Sky if you want to talk hockey, or reach out to me via DM on the Discord if you're a patron. I'm always willing to answer questions, as are many of the Short Shifts hosts. Don't be shy, just reach out. We don't bite. You know, we're nice people. Speaking of patrons, just because the fantasy hockey season is coming to an end, that doesn't mean that we're stopping anytime soon here at Keeping Carlson. The guys will be turning on the $1 off-season tier in the not-so-distant future, and we'll have plenty of content for you to get through the off-season with our Keeping Carlson playoff pool, team previews for all 32 teams, recap shows, Short Shifts roundtables, patron casts, and more. It's an incredible value at $5 a month, and it's highway robbery at $1 a month. So I encourage you to check it out and join us in the Keeping Carlson Patron Group Discord. Thanks to Game Day Tweets, Frozen Tools, Yahoo, Fantrax, and the Kakupful Free Agency Tracker Tool for help preparing today's show. The next edition of the Keeping Carlson Fantasy Hockey Podcast is coming at you tomorrow with Elon and Brian returning for a finals week edition of the Mega Show. Don't miss it, and if you're a patron, join the chat and chop it up with the guys. Thanks for listening, and good luck to all you managers looking to climb to the top of the mountain in your leagues and secure the championship. This is what we live for. This is why we play. Have a great weekend, and see ya.